You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC.
Thanks for joining us today. We're looking forward to a great episode. This is episode number 5, where we're talking about leading up and leading down, leading all around, basically. And so it's a pleasure to have Dave Truitt and Sarah Bundy with me. How are you, Sarah, today?
I am doing great today. It's fabulous weather here in the great Northeast, so that's a pretty nice thing.
Awesome. Dave, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. I am home, a different setting here. I just had to go get my son. He was sick at school, so if I have to step out, I apologize. My wife is away working today, so I am the closest one to him. So I get to bring him home and set him in front of the TV, make sure he's okay.
All right, playing Mr. Mom. That's cool, though. Family first. That's what it's all about, you know? So, well, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to the podcast today. I think we've got a good episode here that we're going to be talking about. As kid ministry leaders, oftentimes, you know, we struggle with leadership. We know that we're called to minister to children. We know that we have a team of people to work with, but oftentimes, I know that even I myself, to be totally transparent, is I've struggled with being a leader of leaders, and but I've discovered how important that is. And so we're going to be talking about that in this episode. But you know what? Before we do, just real quick, what do you guys? What are some of the things you're working on right now? I'm just curious in this time of the year, what are you working on, Dave? What do you got going right now?
Well, for me, you know, one of the things that I started doing more of this year is assemblies at schools, and I just did one last week, and it usually takes a big effort to get everything ready and things like that, so I just wrapped that up, and right now I'm working on trying to work ahead a little bit, as I'll be going to Atlanta in, a week and a half. I'll be down there in 2 weeks for the Orange Conference, and you know, I'm going to love it down there. I'll be down there pretty much all week. My oldest son and I will be going down a day or two before, looking at some colleges on the way down. But whenever there's a conference or a big event the week before the new month starts, it makes it real tough, just as far as having to redecorate the church and everything like that, get things ready for the new series. So I'm trying to work a little bit ahead this week and next week to make my time down at Orange stress-free.
So. Gotcha. Sarah, what are you working on over there?
I'm just working on a little bit of everything, really. We're looking at making some changes in our elementary and preschool curriculum, so I've been doing some research on that and doing some more Kidman. We just finished a Kidman renovation, so it's not completely finished, but the paint is on the walls, so that's a huge step. So just putting those finishing touches on that so we can have a big open house.
Cool. That sounds exciting.
Yeah,
I've got right in the throes of summer plans. We're doing a family VBS this year, our first time of doing all out just for the family. No drop off. It's got to be mom, kids, dad, grandparents, and we're doing a three-day thing. So we've been working hard on all the details for that. And then we've got a performing arts camp we're doing and a soccer camp we're doing. So right now, just trying to get ahead of all the promotion and starting to build the teams and that kind of thing. So, and then wrapping up the Awana year and all those kind of things. And then, yeah, I'll be joining Dave down at Orange Conference and looking forward to getting away. That'll be my first conference this year. So I'm looking forward to hanging out with 7,000 of my best friends. and of course learning leadership. So that's mm-hmm. kind of what we're diving into today. So let's dive in as we think about, like I said, sometimes being the kid's pastor, the kid's director, or maybe even just a volunteer if you're listening. Sometimes it's hard to think of yourself as a leader. But God calls all of us to lead in different ways. Whether it's from the first chair, second chair, third chair, really doesn't matter. We want to talk a little bit about that sometimes some of the struggles that kid ministry people have and what we can do strengthen our leadership. And so let's dive in a little bit. I'm curious what you guys have thought about, what's helped you lead from the so-called second chair. How do you help share vision to the larger body? Because I think that's a key point of being a leader is having a vision and sharing it with others. So I'm just curious, what do you guys do to lead your body, or lead the church, to show them that kids ministry is valuable and important to the greater church body? So I'm just curious what you do. So Sarah, why don't you start us off? What do you do there at your church to help cast that vision and lead?
Well, I really think that building relationships is key in everything that we do. But when it comes to leading a ministry and casting vision, you really cannot do that without a relationship. And it doesn't matter if, a person currently serves in your ministry. Hopefully you're casting vision every single week with people that serve in your ministries. But it might mean going to an event that you really don't want to go to or aren't required to go to, making yourself available during church greeting times or before and after church. And that can be really hard as a kid's ministry leader, no matter what level you're leading at, because there's always something else that will want your time. But it really, I think you really have to just take the opportunity to cast vision with every single person. You never know, that person might be a potential volunteer. They might be a potential funder of a later ministry or something that you're trying to do. So that's what I do, is just always try and cast vision no matter who I'm talking to, make sure that's a part of that conversation.
Cool. Dave, what do you do to help lead from behind there and or from the side? I don't like saying behind, because we're a team, and a team walks shoulder to shoulder. But you get the idea. So what do you share? What do you lead? How do you lead?
Yeah, I'd say one of the biggest things is just going with what Sarah said, just, sharing what's going on, stories as far as, what you would like something to look like, as well as stories of life transformation, of how things are actually happening, and being willing to share it wherever, and just little snippets, whenever you can. If someone asks, how's your day? Maybe have a thought planted how you're going to say, well, this week has been awesome. I heard about, this family who's been going through this, and they, because of what we do here, they were able to, give it all to God, give the glory to God. So that's kind of one of the big things, just even the hallway conversations with anybody, in the church, to be able to do that, to be able to have, instead of, oh, my day's going okay, or oh, the ministry's going well, to be able to have some stories to be able to share. And specifically, if you're not the top dog as far as like the senior pastor, the big thing is really, just kind of the stories to whatever their vision is and how your ministry is helping them fulfill their ministry dreams and things. That's a big thing. Sometimes we do get caught up, I think, a danger could be, especially going to some conferences or, I heard this church is doing this, so we need to do this. And, the stories from other churches can be good as inspiration, I think, for us, and maybe even to share one or two, but we really need to make things our own. And how can, our church be doing, fulfilling its calling, not necessarily the ABC church down the road or in another city or things like that.
Yeah, but we have a habit of copying and pasting, don't we?
Yep.
And I think that can be a real danger.
Yeah, I think we can copy and paste some principles, but, copy and paste programs or specifics, that gets a little dangerous.
Yeah, I agree. I do. I think that's, it's hard because you come back from a conference and you get all excited and wound up and you want to share that, but you got to remember that they weren't there to experience that. And so they probably aren't going to get excited. and then, what ABC Church is doing down the street may not fit your context. It may not fit where you're at. So
right.
Right. And specifically, if ABC down the church, if it's right near you, if they're already doing it, why, I mean, we're not competing for things. So let them be the, you know, let them be the best at, you know, Awana, or let them be the best at whatever it is, a Bible study for women. That's great. That's wonderful. Support them. And, you know, how can we be, you know, meet a need in the community? If that's not a need, you know, we're not trying to compete for people. We're trying to win the area for God, for God's glory.
Mm. Preach it, brother. That's good. That's good. I would say, I guess, for me, leading in this, in the position that I'm at, going along with some of the things that you said, but you guys have both said, is I think being visible out, you know, Sarah hit this, you know, getting involved in other activities, whether you have to be there or not, supporting other team members, you know, finding out, you know, from the youth minister, hey, what can I do to serve you? How can I help you? I think you can demonstrate, you know, obviously Jesus said, you know, I didn't come to serve, you know, to be served, but to serve. And so I think we follow that model to say, hey, you know, I don't have to always be the leader. I can be a servant. Mm-hmm. And obviously the best mm-hmm. leaders are the best servants. So I think being visible and being available are huge. And I think sometimes we get stuck in our own silo and we're so busy working on our activities that we stop and you know, hey, what can I do to serve my fellow staff members? How can I serve outside of the kids ministry area? I think helps the other church members see you as more than just the kids pastor. And I think that's important because oftentimes we either use that as a self-deprecating humor that, oh, I'm just the kids pastor, you know, and we miss a great opportunity to really serve. I think, you know, being willing to do that outside of our own kids ministry and helping others is important. And lastly, I think, is serving our senior leader. One of the things that it's been difficult sometimes because I've not always worked with some of the best and most enjoyable leaders, but I've learned through that no matter what, I need to serve them. I take the model from King David, you know, that even though he knew he was supposed to be king at the time, he wasn't. He was just a shepherd boy, and he was called by God to serve the king. And Saul brought him in, and David, you know, David served. And I think sometimes we as kids pastors forget our one of our main roles, being on a church staff, is to serve our pastors. To find out how can we pray for them, how can we encourage them. I think if we could start doing that more, one, you're going to win them into your corner. I've seen that since I've developed the attitude of no matter what they do, whether they promote my ministry or not from the stage, I'm going to serve them. I'm going to talk them up. I'm going to invite them to come to our kids area. That's it. You know, I think if we lead in those ways, invite other staff members to come to your area and say, hey, you're welcome anytime to pop in and you know, meet the kids, and especially, mm-hmm. you know, our middle school pastor. I want her to meet our middle school kids that are coming up, you know, because I want her to start building relationships so we can develop a handoff. And so I think we can really help the larger church grow if we're willing to stretch our borders and enlarge in that tent. I think that's a big thing. But I think serving our senior leader is pretty important.
Definitely. That's, sorry, go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, no, that's okay. I just, when Tom was talking about serving your senior leader and encouraging other staff members to be into your area or, you know, come into your area and meet the kids, I was just wondering what are some ways that you guys are able to encourage your senior leaders?
Yeah, I'll start off with that. excuse me. One of the biggest things is just being their biggest supporter. Mm-hmm. excuse me again, while I have my dream for the ministry or things like that, you know, how well does it align to their dream? And, you know, them being the senior pastor, you know, I need to make sure my goals are aligning with theirs, and how, you know, if something is, you know, passionate on their heart, how can I help that? One of the things that I think sometimes I struggle with is just even the weekly staff meetings. Sometimes as our whole staff, we take a fair amount of time talking about the sermon and the adult service and how things went and stuff. And as the kids guy, I'm like, well, you know, sometimes I'm like, I could let my mind drift because I'm not involved in that. Mm-hmm. But yet it's very important for me to pour out some ideas and some invest in that, because that's one of the things that my senior leader is investing so much of his time in. And how can I help, you know, him get the biggest win possible in that environment? And, you know, so it's really important for me not to be, you know, checking email or doing things like that during that part of the discussion, but really honing in and seeing how I can help, or, you know, do some suggestions or things like that. So what about you, Tom? Is there anything, you know, that anything else comes to mind for you?
Yeah, I would say one is, you know, make sure you have their back, you don't you keep your negative speak to yourself. Sometimes it's easy to nitpick or second guess, and oftentimes we don't understand all the details that they may see. I mean, they have a bigger picture sometimes than we do. And so I think as a secondary leader, so to speak, I guess, that I would say for most other leaders is that we need to be careful. You know, I've been guilty sometimes of sniping my pastor, and it's not helpful, and it doesn't reflect well on my leadership as well. And so I think one of the things that we can do to encourage our leaders, pray for them, go to them and ask, how can I specifically pray for you this week? What is it that you're doing? And then I think the other thing is asking them, what do you want me to do? What do you see from as a win? What do you see as something that you want me to accomplish? What do I need to focus on? Let them know that you're teachable and that you're willing to keep growing, and that you're willing to serve them, and to do what they need. If it's their problem, then make it your problem, and help them address that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just have their back, protect them, guard them. If you hear people snagging at them and getting snarky, I would shut that down. Don't listen to it. Don't be the staff person that people can come to and complain. Know that if they do, they're gonna hear the party line, and you're gonna defend them. You're gonna protect unity. That's one of the phrases we say in our church, is that as a staff team, we are going to protect unity at all costs.
I like that.
So if somebody comes to me and wants to attack my pastor, they're attacking me and my team, and I'm gonna battle back. It's not going to go over easy and well. So, Sarah, what's some things that you do, since you asked the question? What do you do to encourage your senior leader?
I think I really like what Dave was just saying too about those staff meeting times where the stuff that's being discussed might not really apply to you or the area that you serve, but to really pay attention because you do have valuable input in those different areas because you're seeing that Sunday morning from a completely different angle as everybody else. So I really have to second Dave on that. One of the things that I do is that I found is to share the wins that are going on in children's ministry. You know, share the funny stories, share the hard stories. There's a couple different things that happened a few weeks ago in our kids ministry that were just funny things. And so we didn't have a staff meeting the next day, but I group texted all the other guys that are on staff and was just like, hey, here's a funny story. Just wanted to encourage you guys today. You know, this is what's going on in my area, because a lot of times your senior pastor for sure, but even the rest of your staff are doing other things on a Sunday morning when your main or whenever your main gathering is. So just kind of keeping them in the loop that way, because I found that sometimes what you need the most, other people need too. So just sharing those wins with them.
Awesome. Yeah, now here's a question for you guys. What do you do when a senior leader, if you found yourself, isn't on the same page, you know, as you, or yeah, I'll just leave that question there. What can you do if the leader just, if the senior leader, or maybe it's even a supporting leader, another ministry leader, just doesn't seem to share, you know, the same vision or isn't on that same page? Tom, do you have anything that you would like to, you know, put out there for that?
Yeah, well, I'll go back to that phrase that we use, and that's protect unity. I think, you know, unity is so important on a staff. There's nothing more destructive to the body of Christ than leadership in conflict. And that doesn't mean you can't have conflict. I think there is healthy conflict there. I think there's sometimes where, and there's going to be times where you're not going to be on the same page. And that, you know, then you have to do some serious heart work and decide, is this such a big gap that it's time for you to step aside? You know, oftentimes we get our pride in the way and we think, well, they ought to leave, you know, they're the ones that are wrong. Well, I'm the right one. You know what, that's where we have to humble ourselves before the cross and start thinking about, what is it that we need to do to protect unity? And so if I'm not on the same page with somebody, it's saying I value unity so much that I want to make sure that we're together and I want to find a way to get on the same page or to come to an agree to disagree point of view. But on the public side, we're going to protect that unity. And so I think having a real, you know, if your staff has deep relationships, it makes it easier. It's when we get into the silos and we start putting up walls that this makes it a lot harder. And so when you start feeling, my advice, especially for somebody, if you're listening and you're just starting out in ministry, make sure that you don't build those walls up, you know, that, you know, they should be out of Jell-O, not steel and concrete. You can pass through Jell-O, but you're not going to go through steel and concrete so easy. And so if you keep those walls fluid and workable, when you have those disagreements, you know, then you can go to them and you can say, here's my heart. This is where I'm struggling. I don't feel like we're on the same page. And how can we get together? Where can we find unity? I think that's huge.
That's
awesome. What about you?
Well, I think that having a conversation, as my pastor and his wife say, non-emotional adult communication, just being able to have a conversation, and when you might not be on the same page, but I've found that a lot of times you're not on the same page because there's been some kind of a miscommunication or a misperception of a situation. And so just don't let those things slip past. For me, it's sometimes so easy to just think, oh, I'm just going to let this go. Not a big deal. It's just let it roll off my back. It's fine. But then there are so many times that you actually really need to approach your leadership in a positive way and explain the situation from your viewpoint or you know, whatever is happening. And I've definitely learned, too, it's been interesting as a young woman on a staff of mainly men that are at least 10 years older than I am. It's, we think very, very differently. So there are some moments when things will happen or situations, you know, come up or stuff's presented and I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't making sense, or there might be something else we need to think about here. So I've learned that standing my ground and being firm in what I believe, but also being open to what's going on around me. And the other thing, too, I think is just knowing, and this is something that our staff is going through right now, is knowing what we value as a staff, as a church, and then making sure that we value the same things and protecting those values. It's a little bit different than vision, but protecting that within our church. It, like you were just saying, it all comes back to unity and being a family, being a body together.
Hey, can I ask a real quick question, Sarah? Because that, you just hit me with something there. There is a lot of staffs now that are growing that are more mixed, male, female. So give us guys a little insight. What can we do to bridge that gap sometimes so that we don't create a wall just because of gender?
I think, yeah, that's a really great question. I think the thing that comes first to my mind goes back to communication and just taking time to listen and not just jump in with an answer right away. There's been some times when I've tried to communicate a full situation from start to finish so that there was, clarity and understanding, and somebody will jump right in with an answer. And I'm like, wait a minute, just hear me out on this. You know, I understand where you're going. Totally a great place to go with this right now, but I'm not done with my entire explanation here or something like that. So really, I think a big thing is that the communication and taking time and taking the time to build relationships too. And obviously that looks different, but having that chance to have that open communication. So
cool. Thanks for that. Cause I think a lot of us guys, we jump into fix it mode. And I know there are times I've said, believe it or not, I've actually said this back to my wife sometimes. I'll come home and I start talking and I'm venting and she starts problem solving because she's a key leader in her position at work. And so she goes into problem solving and I'm like, wait, listen. I'm not looking for an answer. I just wanted to let this go. And I think that goes both ways for all of us. And what you just said is that sometimes we need to slow down as guys and not try to, jump in. Yeah. So good advice. Thanks, Sarah. Dave, I want to dive back to you on the senior leadership question since you asked it. What do you do or what advice would you give someone when their leader isn't on the same page?
Yeah. Excuse me. There goes my voice again. Oh, sorry about that. I'd say one of the big things is, just be in prayer about it, having those honest conversations and just coming to the grip. Is this a tension that you're having that needs to be wrestled with, or is this a problem that needs to be solved? Are you guys, is the visions or what you're working through so diverse that, there might need to be some separation? Or, is it just attention? I think it's, one of the things that Sarah said that I really liked was, she needs to make sure that she's heard. And we need to make sure that we're heard in an honest way. And just even admit, hey, I'm struggling with this, or the vision for this, or why is this getting so much attention but not this? Or there's so many different things that can come to mind. But the big thing is just that honesty, that integrity. And, eventually, if the problems persist or if there is so much tension, it might be a compatibility issue. Just, maybe you're a Mac and they're a PC, and while you get together with a lot of things, there's still some things that you don't quite gel on. And, is that a major or is that a minor issue? And, learning to wrestle. But as I'm not the senior leader, I need to, my senior's, his vision and his thing is the thing for our church. And mine is for my ministry, which is a part of that church. And I need to make sure that I am underneath him. I have a senior leader who's a male. I need to make sure that my vision is underneath his vision. And I'm not, while mine might be great and flourishing, if it's a tree branch that's going out this way and taking energy away from the rest of the tree, that's not too good. We need to make sure our arrows are aligned. And, just decide if it's a tension or is it a problem? So.
Yeah. I think I want to mention, and this is not a paid plug, but Jim Weidman has a great resource on his website about should I stay or should I go? I think it's just called Stay or Go. And it asks some good probing questions so that if you get to a point where you're not on the same page and your heart's becoming bitter and and you're getting too frustrated where it's affecting, because it will affect you, it's going to affect your family, it's going to affect your ministry, you may need to ask yourself some hard questions and decide that maybe it's time for you to step out and allow your senior leader to find somebody that's more compatible. Sometimes that happens that way. Well, let's make a transition here in the podcast to thinking about developing others. Because, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, sometimes we leaders struggle with being a leader of leaders. And that is one of our roles, is not just to lead a group of volunteers, but really, according to Scripture, we're supposed to train up the body to do the work of the ministry. That means creating leaders. And so I'm just curious what you all do to develop volunteers to move from just being a volunteer serving to a volunteer leading. Sarah, what do you do to develop leaders?
Well, this is one thing that I have definitely, I wouldn't say struggled, but definitely been striving to really do, because I know that I cannot be the only person. We can't be lone rangers, especially in kids ministry. It just does not work. It just doesn't. I don't need I say more. But I think really empowering leaders, just letting go of some things. I know sometimes it's really hard because you want to make sure that things are done the right way. Well, one thing I've realized is that there are people that are around you that can do things probably better than I can in some situations. Like giving people opportunities, I think that's huge. I have a couple that volunteers right now in our preschool ministry, and it's funny because the wife had volunteered for probably about a year, and then one morning I needed another person so badly, and I was trying to figure all this out, and so she offered her husband's help, and he was completely fine with that. And so since that time, over a year ago, they have now become a key couple in mainly our preschool ministry. But he is awesome. I'll throw him on the spot. Good Friday, we had a special service, and our kids ministry was very interesting that evening because we don't normally do a Friday night service. So we didn't really know what to expect. And he was just on the spot. But that's because I really feel like I have empowered them to be able to jump into ministries like that by providing training, by taking people to conferences, or, you know, sometimes I'll find a really good YouTube video and I'll send it out to my team, really keeping in contact with them. We do bi-monthly meetings. Last month, I actually did two meetings, same exact content. I did one at a Panera on a Wednesday night, and then I did one after church on Sunday, and I bought pizza for the one after church, and it went really, really well. I had the highest attendance that I have had for one of these meetings. Last night, I had our April bi-monthly meeting at Panera, and it was myself and an elementary large group leader. And that was it. So I need to still work a little bit on the leadership skill there, of making sure that I send the email and remind people that there's actually a meeting that is on the calendar and not just imagining that I told them. but anyway, I just feel like we need to give people the opportunity to be able to serve. I heard somebody recently say that if someone can do something 80% as well as you can, then let it go. Because they will exceed you. You know, you started somewhere too. So that's what I've just been doing, is just letting people go. And then when they take something and it might not go exactly the way that they feel it should go, or, you know, they think that maybe they let you down, or that, you know, you'll be disappointed because a Sunday morning service flopped, make sure that you encourage them and let them know that it's all right, that it's a learning process for everyone, including yourself, and that you're learning to just let that go and let them be developed as a leader. So it's a lot there, but that's what I've learned on that subject there.
Yeah, if I could kind of piggyback with some of that. I agree with everything she said. I think one of the biggest struggles that I know I have is letting it go. And whether it be a small thing and, oh, I can do that, and I could also do this at the same time, and trying to do multiple things so that I know that it gets done. It's a tough thing sometimes to let it go, but we really need to be able to do that.
Being willing. That song going in my head.
Right now. I know. So, but we do. I mean, we do.
I know you're in kids ministry. sorry, Dave. Didn't mean to.
No problem. So, I mean, we need to be able to give people the opportunity to, you know, to have some wins under the belt. You know, one of the first things we need to do is ask people to not just fulfill a role or to accomplish a task, but, you know, after maybe we start with that, but after we see, you know, kind of where they are as a leader, then we need to be willing to ask them to lead and to oversee an area or, you know, a group or things like that. And, you know, be their champion, be their partner. How can you help them? And that means stepping aside and letting them do some things that, you know, maybe it might even be a thing that people of the church think that you should be doing. I can think of a youth pastor that I've met who, he is a wonderful youth pastor, a huge youth ministry, huge church. But he is up in front of the stage, you know, just so little, because that's not his gifting. He gets other people to do that, and he's a leader of leaders. But so he's not the main person that the teens always see, but he's the youth pastor. But it's a win because he has all these wonderful people who have so much ability to be on stage and be the main presenter, the main teacher. And he's more of a small groups kind of guy. And, you know, we need to be willing to, you know, use the gifts that God has given us and being able to, you know, have the other people use their gifts. And they might be a better, you know, teacher than us or a leader, and maybe even have them come aside and lead groups of adult leaders and things. So what about you, Tom?
Wow. Man, you guys nailed some great stuff. So I guess I'll say it a third time then. Let it go. get over, maybe to say it even a little more blunt, get over yourself. And I'm saying this because Tom had to learn this and is still learning this.
I still need to learn it.
Join the club.
Yeah. I mean, the ministry is not about us. It's about Jesus Christ and Him and Him alone. And it's about His body, being the body. And so I think one of the things that if we want to be great leaders, we've got to let this stuff go. And it's taken me a long time to realize that it needs to be, you know, a ministry that I could walk away from and nobody would even know because the team is so strong.
Right.
Because I've trained them so well. You know, that's the kind of legacy I want. Is that I've been a leader who trains up other leaders. And that's tough because it's hard to get people, and Dave, you nailed it with make that big ask, and not being afraid to ask. And I struggle with that sometimes because I'm like, wow, you know, these people work all the time outside the church. How am I going to ask them to do more? But having a greater vision really helps. So I would say for me, the couple big things that are starting to help me really develop this here, and I haven't been at my church that long, so I'm really just starting to roll this out now that I've figured out our church's DNA a little bit more. But I'm really trying to develop a plan. I'm looking at and trying to identify two or three people this next year that I can pour into. It's that phrase, you know, do for a few what you could do for many. I want to take all my team to the next level, but right now I'm going to try to take two or three and just pour into them. I'm going to spend time reading books together, giving them podcasts to listen to, and I'm going to try to set up a plan where monthly we're growing together, and we're doing things together, and then giving them some responsibility to lead and really to let go. And to try to speak as positive input as I can, give them positive critiques, but truthful critiques and help them and let them know the end goal is I want them to run this program, you know, in another, you know, whatever area I'm giving them. I want them to run it. And I want them to do it way better than I could ever do it. And so I think that's, if you can have a strategy, have a plan, be intentional about it, and then let it go. That's a good principle. I need to write up, Sarah, that you said about 80%. You know, I think, yeah, when we see that 75, 80%, it's time to launch them, and see what they can do with it. So good stuff.
It's all about seeing the potential in people, really, because we all started somewhere, and I know that I absolutely did not start where I am now, and I know that I have a lot of room for growth too. So it's really just seeing that potential and then encouraging people in it. So what about kids? How can we develop kids as leaders?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That is a good one. I'll start with that. You know, I think one of the things is to be giving them leadership opportunities, whether that's pulling them up front, whether it's, you know, asking someone ahead of time or even working with them with a lesson and, hey, can you be, instead of just a volunteer up there where I'm putting costumes on or doing something like that, you know, even helping them, you know, have them help teach it or things. Or, I mean, sometimes you start off with, hey, can you pass their offering baskets? Or, you know, have a sound guy, a sound mic guy whose responsibility is to take a mic around or, you know, be training them on, you know, on the soundboard. Some of the kids, you know, can fly over electronics so much faster than us adults can and can learn it and can do some things. There's so many leadership opportunities. One of the big things that we try to do, though, is we try to make sure that if it's an upfront leader, we want to make sure that the rest of the, for lack of a better word, the audience are still engaged. So one of the things that we do as far as leaders, though, upfront leaders, we make sure that they're the oldest kids in the class, at least, so that it's not perceived that, you know, if we have, say, our jump team, which are those who are doing motions for worship, we've discovered if we have some younger kids in that leadership, it's great for them. But if we have a week where there's too many of them, then the older kids tend to check out and think that it's a little kiddie type atmosphere. So we've had to discover that and work towards, okay, now we just want some of the older kids to be doing some of those upfront things. And the younger ones can help maybe at a younger level or lead their class or their preschool or the preschool worship or things like that. So, but once again, the big thing is, you know, just once again, giving them responsibility, ownership, and that could be a great tool for even, you know, having some of those kids who are a little fidgety to actually, you know, be busy and be doing things and feeling a purpose in being there and being in your ministry. What about you, Tom?
Yeah. Well, there's a great quote, and I'll put it in the show notes. John Maxwell said, "Leadership is being before doing." Mm-hmm. And what Sarah said at the end of her statement before was seeing potential. I think one of the first things we got to look at is look at the kids' hearts, and do we see that leadership potential there? And sometimes we're not going to see it right away. They may be a diamond in the rough, but I think we look at their hearts and we look at what they're doing on a regular basis. We have a J Crew, which is our kids' leadership team, and we handpick them. We invite them to come on. We don't put out blanket invitations because we want them to understand this is a leadership role. And so we spend a lot of time training them. We have monthly trainings. Where they're not, you know, because this J Crew will help lead worship. They run tech, they do skits, they do welcome stuff. They're there to serve, so we try to have this training where we're giving them step by step, and we create some milestones for them. We've given them some responsibilities, little things, and that as they prove themselves, we give them a little bit more. And when they do that, we give them a little bit more. And so little bit by little, we're showing them that leadership is earned. It's not It's a privilege, not a right, and that we truly want to see them being a leader even before they're doing the leadership role. And if they show us that they can be a leader before they're even asked, that's a great thing for us. And so it helps us develop them. But really, it's a, you know, I go back to what I said for the adults. You got to have that step-by-step plan. You got to have a strategy in place to say, here's how I'm going to develop them. Here's my stepping stones, and so that I know where I'm going, and that I can guide them along the way. Sarah, what do you do with young people?
I do pretty much what both of you guys said. Just once again, empowering the kids and giving them ownership. Having those older kids help with worship or help with offering, you know, using them as parts of the Bible story. Mm-hmm. Last year was our first fifth grade leadership summer course in the month of July. I had a group of fifth graders that came in once a week, and the guys, most of the boys, they came up with the games and the object lessons because they all had to involve something disgusting and awesome, and you know, it was a guy thing. And then our girls would learn worship dances, or they actually choreographed a couple of their own, and then they both worked on some puppet drama stuff, which was interesting. And the younger kids loved it because they love being able to look up to their peers. You know, they're a couple years older, but they really loved that. And it was nice for me because I had known right before the summer started that if I didn't do something to grab these kids and to put them in some kind of a leadership position or help them go that direction, that I was going to completely lose them, and it was going to make my summer just miserable before they moved into youth group. Yeah. So I had a conversation with them, and I talked to them about what leadership was and if they were even interested in helping in that way. And it was interesting because their attitude, all of them, I think I have four, completely changed that day. It was like a light switch went on, and they went from being renters to being owners. And they had, you know, I had one of the fifth graders up there telling all the other ones that they needed to pay attention and listen to what the guidelines were, and that's what they needed to do. And it was cool because they were taking ownership of their service and making the environment what they really wanted it to be. So
cool. Well, anybody else got anything else to add before we wrap up here?
No, go ahead, sir.
No, go. Okay. this is a completely unsolicited, unpaid book recommendation. But since we were talking about leadership, I hope it's okay to throw this out there.
Absolutely.
There's a book. It's a pretty old book, actually. It's called God's Armor Bearer, and it's by Terry Nance. And it is a book that I have gone through this book at least 5 times. And I could probably recite it. It's something that my pastor has taken some people through, but it's really great. It just talks about the functions of an Old Testament and a New Testament armor bearer in developing the functions, the spirit of an armor bearer, and really understanding how you can serve your leadership and how you can attach to their vision and go with that. So I recommend that book a lot. It's a great book. And like I said, it's been around for a couple of years, but
yeah. I think again?
Leadership should read that. It's Terry Nance.
Okay. Cool.
And there's actually, I think you can get volume 1 and 2, which is Serving God's Leaders, together. And then there's a third book. It's God's Armor Bearer volume 3, but I don't remember the tagline on that. So they're all really spectacular.
It's God's Armor Bearer Running with Your Pastor's Vision, Volume 3.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
So.
But they're good.
Super. Already ordered them. It's one of those things, you know? So. That one-click button on Amazon.
It's dangerous.
It is dangerous. For me, I mean, as far as the books, I would probably also recommend, Sue and Adam, you know, just came out of it. And I think Sarah even quoted just some of the not normal, you know, as far as from taking them from renters to owners type thing. And that's a great, you know, easy read book that kind of really ties in with that, just as far as how to do that. So that's a, you know, not normal, Seven Quirks of Incredible Volunteers. And then their newer one, Leading Those Not Normal Volunteers. So
just got that one. I haven't started reading it yet.
So, yeah. What about you, Tom? Anything else?
Man, no, I think, you know, there is, it's an older book, Lead the Way God Made You. It's Larry, oh goodness, I just went blank.
Larry Schellenberger.
That's it. Thank you, Dave. Good rescue.
1638 on Amazon.
I think that was a good book for me because it helped me realize that, you know, I can lead the way, you know, God wired me to lead, you know, to be led. And it's been a good thing. You know, I think I would say, you know, as a leader, you know, good leaders keep growing. You know, they say leaders are learners. And I think that's really true. So I think getting some of these books, I think finding a coach or finding somebody to walk alongside you is really powerful. There's a lot of good different people out there that are coaching, offering coaching. There's some things I'm actually in the works with. I have not really to tell a whole lot about it yet, but I'm looking for some folks that want to be guinea pigs and walk along, let me walk alongside them a little bit. So if you happen to listen to this and you're interested, you're really curious, you can message me, and I'll share more with you about that idea. But I think coaching and having somebody walk with you to develop yourself as a leader is huge. And so, yeah, these are some, I think are some great books. There, you know, anything by Maxwell, of course, is really good. So we'll add those to the show notes. And if you guys think of anything off the program and you want to add them to the show notes before we post those up, go for it. You can do that. So, all right. Well, great. This has been a solid episode again. And we thank you for listening to the KMC Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We hope that you've been blessed and encouraged. Again, our theme verse is Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So God bless. Thanks for listening. And we hope that you'll join us again for a future broadcast of the KMC.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.